Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with Neil Baker. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
So today we are, I love this title that Neil came up with, Lost in Space. Today we are talking about, well, Neil, what are we talking about? Being lost in space. When we go to a past life in a dream and have to discover where we are in that past life, or we go somewhere in a dream and must go back to a past life to rediscover what that dream means. Is that
poorly defined,
I apologize.
Lost in Space was originally, we know it's originally a television show. I used to watch it as a kid. It was a show in the 60s, Most everybody knows about it. They made a couple of movies about
they
it later.
Start off like Lost.
It was music.
There was no song.
It was just music. And
I thought they announced the show, but maybe I'm
no, it was just music.
False memory.
The guy that played Zorro was in it. Guy Williams and Jonathan Harris. It was a show of a family, June Lockhart, Billy Mummy. It was a show about a family that, and Angela Cartwright. They were family lost in space. They had a crazy robot in it. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm not referring to that television show. I'm referring to the idea that we can be lost in space.
Okay.
They're not through the attitude of going into a spacecraft and being lost literally in space and racing through the galaxies.
Okay.
Let
me first, before we get into it, Neil, I'm going to stop you right there. I want to let everybody know how to get a hold of us today on the show. 914-338-0164 is our call-in number. So if you're just listening, you may reach us for a reading. We get to our calls about 15 to 20 minutes after the hour, and you may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook, on Twitter. All those accounts are linked. And for those callers that are in the queue, 916-718-786 and 772, you will be getting a reading. Please be patient, though, and keep your place in the queue so we can maintain your order. I'm going to hand it back to you, Neil. Go ahead.
Well, we were talking about the idea of what it is to be lost in space, and what I'm referring to is the energy of karma. And, of course, we're assuming that there is such a concept, karma, being that we create energies in our past lives that has consequences for us as we move through time and space. So, therefore, if we accept this concept that we keep returning to the Earth, and each time we return to the Earth, we create or decrease or increase our attitude of karma, then what we're trying to do as we move through time and space is to reduce our karma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oftentimes, because of the attitude that we have past lives and we can't literally go into them in our current state, except maybe through past life regression or hypnosis, which has its considerable limitations. Because, you know, if you were somebody famous in a past life, then you were this great priest or priestess or something famous, what did you come back for?
We hear that a lot. That people are.
And everyone claims to be Cleopatra, so it's kind of silly. But the attitude
Do you think Cleopatra returned to the planet, though?
Yeah, Elizabeth Taylor.
I'm not serious.
No, I mean, this is did Cleopatra return to the planet? I mean, I don't know. Let's not get in. They're not for this time and space. So we're going to get lost in space.
Okay.
Let's deal with our own individual lives. The fact that we are somewhat on this conception that we inevitably come back until we have the energy reduced of karma in such a way that we no longer have any reason for cause and effect on our planet, for anything activating, unless we elect to come back, of course.
So,
go ahead.
So you're talking about, I mean, when we get into this lost in space topic, you're talking about visiting past life areas in a dream state, right?
Yeah.
How do we become aware that we are actually doing that?
Well, in the dream state, there are certain indications that we're in a past life. So one is the sense of flying.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you're flying in a dream, that strengthens the possibility that you are actually out of your body and you're receiving signals from your astral body that you are in flight.
I see.
That is the information that you're gathering in the sleeping state is through the silver cord, which connects the astral body to the sleeping body in bed and sends signals and messages and attitudes, anything that the astral body is experiencing.
And the silver cord, for those who don't know, is essentially the lifeline that
keeps
you
connected to the
planet.
As
yeah.
long as we're alive.
As long as
silver
we're alive. Once it's cut, we're dead.
Yeah, once it's cut, we're dead. And when we do, and that's right. And if we die, it's cut. The source of it goes back to the astral body, but it's no longer connected to a physical body. And until it's replugged again, maybe that might be the case, if you come back. But when we're dealing with the energy of karma, we're dealing with the energy of what we produced in a past life. So we produced a great energy. We really have these really pleasant dreams. They're wonderful dreams, indicating that our past lives have merit, have something positive going on. Once in a while, though, we actually enter what is called the darker side of karma. And we receive vibrations that we are greatly disturbed. And that includes not only the attitude of just flying in a dream, but where we actually land. Some people will just have dreams of flying, but inevitably you land somewhere or you look over something. People who have dreams about flying, and then later they say, I can't recall the dream, but I felt like I was flying. But then suddenly I was in this room, or suddenly I was on a beach. The attitude of where you are, if you're in a room, you're in a classroom of astral energy. So your astral body left your body and went to a classroom on the astral plane where you're being instructed or taught something or going over some energy that you have to study for. And that all has to do with the criteria of karma, what's happened. And if you produced a negative karma, well, you can go into a tailspin. And what happens in when you sleep, your astral body is naturally pulled out of your physical body because it is a near state of death. We go into a state of sleeping. We close our eyes. We become somewhat unconscious, and we're in a state of sleep. Our astral bodies slip out, moves through time and space, and inevitably visits a past life that has some substance in it, whether it's positive or negative. Now, if it's negative, and in that past life, you as an individual were lost, or you didn't complete your life, and in fact you acquired great, terrible karma throughout that life, whether it was through some act or even through some emotion, you can get stuck in the energy of that past life like a quicksand and never fully come back. So people who wake up very groggy, they're feeling down, they're depressed, they don't know why, they can't seem to get the day going, I mean, if some of that can be explained by simple biological something wrong in your body, but for the sake of our conversation, a lot of it is because you got lost in one of your past lives, and when you came back to the sleep, to the wakeful state, you brought the energy of that past life with you. So it's going to conflict with your present situation, and you're just not going to feel right. Some people might blame it on, oh, you know, I was drinking last night, or I didn't get to sleep, or I had a bad lunch or something. But and aside from those explanations, which might have some merit, what you're really doing is you slipped into a past life where you have not burned away the burden of karma from that past life. And that's what holds us back. So when you come back to the planet and you have these astral journeys, the karma that's been holding you back, which brought you, the key word is back, which brought you back to the planet in the first place, now you're having a dream and your astral body is going back to that past life and revisiting the energy. And that keeps you from, it feels like you're still back there in the energy when you actually wake up because you're still lingering.
So revisiting these areas in the dream, Neil, are we able to correct those past life issues in the dream and tweak things? And is it helpful that we're going back to those past lives in the dream so we don't bring that karma into our waking existence?
Yeah. Well, the idea of how do we, you know, we don't always necessarily know what karma we produced unless we are private to the situation and we can actually experience it or understand it. We killed somebody, we robbed somebody, cheated somebody, we were very mean to the world at large. The best blanket statement of reducing karma is through the attitude of service. Service is what lends us the energy of burning off the karma. We can't always eliminate it,
right?
But we can burn it off to a place to where the act of service to our fellow human beings can burn off, so to speak, the karma of our past life death. It's just like in simple law, we have to do community service sometimes, or we have to pay a fine or something. Community service in the way of higher energy service, especially when it's self-elected. It's not that we reduce our karma by being sentenced to be of service to people or to the world, but when we elect to be of service to the world, that can be in many, many creative ways, as teachers, as helpers. There's so many ways to be of service to the planet. Even just cleaning up the world can help reduce karma.
Right, but I know in your astral travels, Neil, you can tweak people's karma, and you work on your clients and so on and so forth, and I'm sure, you know, your own issues, not to say that you have issues, but you travel in your dreams and are able to readjust karma for people. Can people do that on their own when you're returning to a karmic dream? I'm not talking about their waking hours and what they can do to reduce karma. I'm talking about going into an astral state to try to change the circumstances of that karmic debt.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the attitude of self-actualization. So you can have people. I mean, one of the commandments is that you love one another. So a person who has devoted their life to service and helping, it doesn't mean that you can't make a living or something, but you're basically, there's direct proof that you give service to the planet on an elective level. And you serve people who are of service. And it's not just totally egocentric. It's just not self-gratifying.
Right.
And it's for others' sake. I mean, we could say that our great entertainers are a service to us because they entertain us. But I'm not getting into that ambiguous situation. What I'm talking about is a true service, people of service that really help.
Right.
And they don't necessarily shine the spotlight on themselves, not in any grandiose manner, except maybe just highlight the aspect that they exist and that they're here, and there's a purpose for that. So when you are of service to people and you follow the commandment of loving one another, then and you're connected, then you bring with you a team of angels and guides and spirit beings, and helping the assistant. So when I'm working with somebody and I go, well, I'm going to try to tweak their karma, it's just, it's not my ego that's tweaking it or my abilities as a psychic. It's my connection with a higher realm, which is established through the basis of karma. Because you can have good karma and bad karma. You can change karma. Your attitude could be such that you deliberately start to do the spiritual things of life, which is the gift of sharing, the gift of helping people, guiding people, working through people's pain with them, being counselors, things like that, where you establish this energy field. Now, by doing that, what you're actually doing is you're reducing the negative aspects of ego karma. Because your breath and your life is here for others. And so you make that greatest sacrifice. One of the greatest commandments is this: no greater act than someone who laid their life down for somebody else. So as we do that in more mild terms, in terms of helping, how we help people, how we sacrifice our lives for the sake of others, the welfare of others, that's the reduction of karma. Now, in terms of this getting lost in karma, what happens sometimes is that when we astral project and we go out to a past life, when we get caught in the element of that past life, sometimes the body is ready to wake up before the soul is ready for the body to wake up.
Right.
You know, we just suddenly wake up. And when we do, we're usually waking up in that state in a very bad way. Because the soul is saying, the astral body is saying, I'm not ready to go back to the physical body. I'm still working through this process where I've transcended time and space, so I'm in another dimension. And therefore, in that dimension, if there is some attitude of feeling lost or having established a negative karma, you can wake up and feel that way because you dragged your astral body back in the middle of work. And the way to reduce that lost in space kind of feeling is to ground yourself immediately and wake up and say, I want to bring my soul, my astral body back, is communion, I'm living in the present, and I'm now establishing an act of service to the planet. So that's one way of grounding yourself if you ever find yourself in that anxious state upon waking up and you feel rather lost and disoriented.
Okay, well, always interesting, and of course we invite our callers to not only ask questions about their personal lives, but to contribute to our conversation as well, because it's good to get the feedback and perspective of others. So we have seven of you in the queue right now. Everybody's getting a reading. Area code 772, 512, and 504. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us because you don't have your hands raised. Hopefully you're listening. 772, 504, 512. Thanks for doing that. 916, though, is our first caller. And everyone's getting a reading again. Hold your place in the queue so we can take callers in the order they're received. Hi, 916. Who's this?
Hello, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
My birthday is 8-2-51.
Okay.
And I'm calling about my relationship with my husband.
We've
been married
64 this year.
Oh, yeah,
60 right now. Nancy, you're calling from California, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, what's your question, Nancy?
I'm curious about my relationship with my husband. We've been married for over 12 years, and we have a really unusual relationship. It's almost like brother and sister, and I'm just curious, you know, if we had any past lives or...
Okay, so you're saying, I'm sorry, the phone cut out for a minute. So your relationship with your husband feels more like a friendship, brother, or
yes.
a sibling relationship
yes.
than a romantic relationship?
Right.
Do you have a birthday for him, Nancy?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it's 3/22/50.
Oh, okay.
And how many years have they been married?
And how many years have you been married?
Over 12 years.
Okay. Okay, Neil, go ahead.
There is a, you know, we were talking about this position of past life energy, Nancy, And just in the fact that your master of number alone is an 8 and your husband's is a 4, they're divisible. So there's an attitude of some connection, even in the formation of your numbers. What's going on here, your years are interchangeable, so there's a connection. What you have with your husband is a past life connection, and because you've been married 12 years, so that will put you, around 53 when you got married to him. See, what happened is you have a past life connection with him, Nancy, but the attitude of that past life connection had to be put on hold until you got older, until you were in your 53rd year. Now, don't forget, your master number is 8. And as we look at the mysterious elements in numerology, 53 is an 8. So you actually married him, if not known him previously in this lifetime, before you got married. I mean, most people don't get married the day they meet. So you had to have some history, prehistory with him before you got married. It might have been a couple of years. And then the impact of how you met him is suggestive of how you left him. It's like a serial. It's like a saga where you leave him in a past life. The issues are unresolved, and you come back and pick up where you left off. The reason he came later in your life is because you had other karma to get through, which had a more demanding, immediate attention you had to give to. Your master number 8 is also the number in your month, 8. And then your second number, which is 2, matches the second number of your husband, which is a 2. And so this 2 element becomes an attitude of relationship, sexual relationship. But what the problem is that when you say that there's more friendship than sexuality, the intense sexual energy of your existence with this man occurred in a past life. And what's trying to be established in this lifetime is more of the energy of what was missing in the past life. I think it was a very intense sexual energy in a past life where the two of you based your energy upon sexuality, and there wasn't enough friendship in the relationship, so you had to come back and establish that friendship relation in order to reduce the karma that was established by being absolutely too sexual in the past life. But what I mean by too sexual is that your major responsibilities were neglected for the sake of just being enraptured with one another. Mm. So it's a long response, Nancy, to your question. But I think your situation demands a deep analysis. It's not something that can be established in a few minutes of time on a radio show. There's something deep going on between the two of you, indeed. And even your months together, 8 and 3, become an 11, which is a 2, which means that there's something going on in the attitude of karma with the two of you, whereby you had to move away from the sexual energy and formulate this so-called friendship. There's something that has to be worked out in that. But again, it would take a greater depth an analysis that I can grant you on a radio show, but there is a definite door. You're on the right track. There is a real story going on, and it's rooted in a past life.
Okay.
All right, Nancy. Well, you're welcome, and hopefully that helps. I know there are short readings, but I think valuable information, even in the capsulized format, can be found. Telling her that it's a past life gives her a good platform to further investigate, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in my analysis, there's a past life. And 2, there's something that has to be resolved according to that past life. The passion and the sexuality is in question. But, again, I think that was because of the overemphasis of a past life. So there would have to be something examined about this. And then it'd have to get into all other kinds of aspects that would, you know, demand more time.
Right. And we've got so many callers, Neil, so we got to keep these to about 5-minute readings, okay? 718 is next. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. I'm listening to your conversation, and I'm loving it. I'm just curious. I guess everything is related to the past life that we're dealing with now. Is that what it is?
No. Not at all.
Oh.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Transcendence, the astral realm.
Yeah.
There's so many components.
To me, what's the name of this person?
Oh, yeah, what's your name? We didn't get your name and birthday, please.
My name is Mindy, and my birthday is 7/24/61. Yes, I hear you.
We can't hear you. What's your name and birthday?
Mindy, 7/24/61.
Oh, 7/24/61. We've spoken with you before, right, Mindy?
One time, yes.
Yeah, remember you, and you're on our Facebook, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, Mindy.
You too.
Karma, I mean, karma is a kind of a dangerous thing to get into because it's very hard to really define what it is, and I think a lot of people make mistakes and become rather deluded in their investigation of what karma really is and past life is. So it's not, even though it's the topic of our show and I talk about it quite often, it's not really the great emphasis of my approach. The great emphasis of my approach is self-creativity. And self-creativity is something that we get to hone in this lifetime so we can actually activate who we are as we live and breathe. And even if we did have a horrible past life or we're dealing with horrible karma or we had a great past life, what really matters is how we're running in this lifetime. So the real test is the energy of who you are as you live and breathe. That's what's important. The aspects of past life karma is really noteworthy for its emphasis on trying to understand the energy you're in today. It helps you understand something, but it's not the key all. The key all to your to the solution of any life is who you are today and what you're going to do with it. So I would say that even if you have horrible karma, the way to resolve it is to create a new karma. So, and creating a new karma is just the activation of your energy, the outcome of your actions and your purpose, how you deal with certain, you know, situations in your life, conflicts and challenges, how you breathe in such a way that you establish your higher self without reflecting your higher self on somebody else to where they're at a disadvantage. So you have to kind of look at it in a holistic way, not only for yourself and your own body, but in the body of humankind. So your approach to being a highly elevated, self-actualized person should also bring with it the realization that you have helped to activate the world and the inhabitants around you.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. And I think, and I could be wrong, that when I didn't realize that, I was more affected by maybe negative karma or just the sways and flows of earthly life when I didn't realize that I was creating the next moment. You understand? Like,
yeah.
I wonder if karma has a bigger effect when we're not in the creative process and we're kind of letting it happen. I'm not sure about that. I'm asking. I'm really not sure.
Yeah.
In other words, till I figured that out, life was so difficult. I didn't think I had anything to do with it. So I thought maybe part of it, big part of it, could have been karma. And I didn't know that I could have anything to do with it. Now that I understand that, a lot of that has calmed down.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can settle the fire of karma by really kind of moving out of, sometimes people become obsessed with it and it becomes a habitual obsession. With the idea of how they deal with karma, and it becomes almost a quest of trying to understand who they were in a past life. I mean, there might be some merits to that, but I think the real attitude of releasing karma is harmony, harmony within yourself, harmony with the universe, harmony with your fellow person. That's the real energy, and sometimes that's hard to actualize because we don't really live in a harmonious world. So trying to establish that and maintain that in a chaotic existence otherwise around you is really the thing of merit.
Mm-hmm. And I believe there's also lots of influences and lots of things going on the other side, like the numerology effects when we're born, the astrology effects, the energies. There's so much. It's so much more complex. But I do think the key to everything is exactly what you said. And it's... You hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear
it's
you,
our own influence. That's my final thing.
Right.
But until I came to know that...
Mindy, we have to move on to the next caller.
Okay, thank you.
We appreciate you contributing, but, you know, we've got a lot of callers in the queue. Okay, 786.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Eduardo from Miami.
Oh, hi, Eduardo. It's been a while. And what's your birthday again?
It's 6/29/1972. So I'm a 9.
And what's your question, Eduardo? Yeah, we got
to
get
the... Yeah, I wanted to see, you know, I just been offered a new opportunity to sell some technology in the medical sector. And I wanted to see if it's a good opportunity for me or not.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. We got 15, 17, 27, 37, 36, 9. And I'm sorry, Eduardo.
Medical sector, so selling?
Yeah.
Medical supplies, is that the job?
Basically as an independent consultant selling some diagnostic tests.
All right.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, Eduardo. Have you been doing this kind of work for about or at least 3 years?
No. Well, this is a new opportunity.
Okay. So
I was involved in the medical field. In the medical field, I don't know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, but.
Yeah. What were you doing 3 years ago?
2 years ago, developing a mobile game.
Oh, that was
3 years.
3 years ago, I wanted to know 3 years ago you're developing a mobile game. So you've been a kind of a man. You've kind of been a jack of all trades. You've been doing a lot of innovative things, and you're trying to find a way to ground yourself and do something. You know what I'm getting? I'm getting a confirmation that you are actually in the right area and that this will probably take off, but I'm not seeing anything significant until September. And let me ask you something. Do you have a sibling? Do you have a brother?
Yes, I got two, actually.
Yeah. Okay, I just need to get that little hook in because I was reaching for some form of validation just no matter what the field was. I had to sense that energy. And are you an uncle at this point?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm getting...
I remember his sister-in-law was pregnant or something. I remember. Neil does
that. I'm sorry, I don't even have a collection of talking to you, but it's better that my mind be erased and everything feels new again.
Yeah.
But, once I get to know people once I've talked to them for a period of time, but very rarely do I remember one or two calls. Okay, so...
Of course.
What I think is you're going to make a change around September. If you stay with this, you're going to start to see some changes occur. That's not too long from now. Everything can be built up to that. But right around that month, I would start to measure the outcome, the what's coming back to you in terms of your rewards or your feedback, because right around then, I think, it would indicate that you're in the right area and you're going to be rewarded for it. So to answer your question briefly, September is a telling month. Stay in there, keep working at it, and I predict.
So you think it's a good idea to pursue this opportunity?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I do, but like I said, between May, June, July, August, don't worry about the difficulties. It's September. In working through this, September should be the month where, if not, you haven't found it already, that would be the month where Eduardo will say, hey, this is going pretty good. That would be the month I'd predict.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Let us know how it plays out, Eduardo. We always like to hear. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
562-596-7818 is my restricted number. All right. Let's see. Where are we here? Let me make sure I'm taking everybody in the right order. 907 is next. Good morning. 907.
Good morning, Claire.
Hi.
Hello. My name is Charlotte, and my birthday is
921-72.
And what's his name?
Charlotte. She's from Alaska. We've spoken with her before. Charlotte, what's your question?
I was just wondering if working for FedEx would be a better opportunity than the job I'm working now.
Yeah, and you're working in TSA, right?
Correct.
Okay. And what's your question?
What was the other job opportunity you had?
FedEx.
FedEx?
Right.
She wants to know if she's going to be working for FedEx.
If it's a better, she was having trouble in her employment as a TSA with her coworkers. There was negative things going on, and so she's looking at FedEx.
Who would think if things going on, you're looking at FedEx. Charlotte, were you at TSA, were you there at least 2 years, at least?
No, 6 months. It's a horrible environment.
Yeah, I got it. I got to go back 2 years because I got to correct something real quick. Where were you 2 years ago? See, the former caller was 3 years. With you, it's 2 years ago. Where were you did I say 3 years?
Yeah.
Ago? Yeah, 2 years ago, Charlotte. Where were you 2 years ago? Were you?
I was sick, really ill.
Yeah, you were out of work. So I was getting out of work. So there's something here. Charlotte, my diagnosis, if you will, is that there's something clogging the energy field. And when I asked 2 years ago, you said you were really sick out of work. There's an energy you're still carrying that's got to be resolved. And then I think FedEx comes in because I can see you working for FedEx. I do see it. But the problem with this situation is that there's a karma that's following you, and this karma, if you will, is aggravating everything you go into. So I'm not sure, you know, that karma could, I don't know, I'd have to look at it deeper. If it was in my charge, I'd be looking at it deeper and trying to figure out where it started, at least in this lifetime. I might have to briefly go back to your past. There might have been some confusion in your upbringing. I don't know if there was fighting with your parents or a divorce. Was there any divorce in your life or with your parents or anybody like that? Was there a volatile background in your family dynamics?
It's a volatile background, but they're not divorced. They don't live together. They don't live together, but... Yeah.
Well, that's the divorce.
Well,
that's the separation.
Yeah, that's really the separation and divorce. And the volatile nature of the background is what I'm picking up. So I would have to part kind of, if you will, the energy that was created in your system due to that upbringing and that exposure. And maybe then the clearance would allow you to have a better access to a happy employment. Without all this conflict surrounding you. And that's not a difficult thing to do. I mean, it's manageable to correct.
Okay.
It's a manageable correction.
Okay.
All right.
That'd be great.
All right.
Hey, thank you for that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, yeah. Sometimes things need to be clear to move on to the next phase. Anything she could do on her own before we get to the next caller?
Well, sure. I mean, if you're really skilled, you could work the energy on your own, you know, through different kind of breathing and consciousness exercises and addresses to the universe and things like that. I mean, it takes work. It's like, can someone be fit on their own? Does everybody need a trainer? No. Most of us do, but some people know how to be self-employed, how to be self-fit. They're their own teachers. I mean, as much as we need teachers. So, yes, you can do it on your own if It is possible.
Yes. Okay, 772 area code is next. Good morning, 772.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good
Hi.
Morning.
Hi,
this
how
is
are
Nash.
You?
Yes, and this is Mary. Mary.
Okay. All right.
And my date of birth is the 8/27/62.
8/8/27/62? August
yes.
27/62. Okay. What's your question?
Will I find my husband? Will I find my partner? My relationship?
Is he lost?
I'm trying to find him. I've been looking for years. I can't find him.
I'm assuming you don't have him yet. You're looking for that person. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
All right.
Well, here you are, 52. You had a change at 35. For your reading, at the age of 35, Mary, did you suffer a breakup or in a relationship or a move from one place to another around that year of your life?
Yes, I did.
And what was that?
The move was I moved to the United States of America.
Yeah.
From where?
From England, UK to America.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, see, in that move, because I predicted there would be either a breakup or a move, and I guess the breakup in the relationship was the breakup you had with England, and then thereby there was a move. So we're not talking about a breakup with a person. Maybe there might have been some people there that you had to break up with in terms of friendships and connections. But the breakup that occurred at 35, whereby you moved to the United States, was a karmic change. And that karmic change resulted in you having, those were the two sections of your life. So from the age of 1 to 35, you've got this big chunk, and then from 35 to the present date, you've got another one. And since you've been 35, it's been 17 years. Now, 17 years is important because, in my estimation, you see, your master number is 8, and 17 in numerology is an 8. So you're about to really, and you're going to be 53 years old. So I would say, Mary, that there is a good chance during the age of 53 that you find your relationship. You find this person at the age of 53. Now, remember that, again, I'm dealing with the kind of ambiguous sections of numerology. 53 is an 8. You've gone through 17 cycles, which 17 years, which is an 8. From birth, you're going to enter 56. You're going to be entering another cycle. Between 53 and 56, you meet this person, and between 53 and 56, you actually spend your life with them, and then you know what? At 56, there could be marriage, there could be a living arrangement where you're under one roof.
Okay.
It could happen before, but I'm determining, Mary, that you are going to find this person in the age of 53. I can't right now go into details as to what I divine as where you find them, but I can tell you that around the individual there's going to be a lot of animals, and there may even be exotic animals, like the person likes, you know, he'd be the kind of a person that would love to go on safari to see the animals, or he just appreciates the wild kingdom is what it's called. And so there's that connection to it. I don't know if there's any animals in your life currently or if there ever were, but this person likes animals.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, but I don't have any animals in my life right now. But that's
do you love it? But do you like animals?
I love animals. Yes, I do.
Okay, well, you're going to be, when you're with this person, what kind of animal do you prefer on a domestic level?
Cat
or dogs?
Cats.
Yeah, cats. Well, you're going to be probably experiencing a cat in your life too, because the person, there seems to be a union in the attitude of animals. So I'm surmising that the person will bring cats into your life once again, and that's what I think is going to happen. But wait until August for anything to even appear.
All right. Mary, it's a start.
Yes.
Okay, well, we thank you for your call.
And thank you very much, and you have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye.
And Mary, as well as our other listeners and callers, can follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. Join us on Facebook or Twitter. Neil, we've got several callers left, so in 15 minutes. 512 area code is our next. And are you there, 512? I'm having a problem unmuting the callers. We've had an odd.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, who's this?
Thank you for taking my call. This is Julia. My birthday is 9876. Hi.
Hi.
How are you all doing?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from, Julia?
I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Okay. Have we spoken with you before?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, welcome.
9876.
Yeah, 9876.
Yeah,
and
pretty cool, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
I was actually calling about both career and romance, but I kind of feel like lately I'm getting signs that maybe they're going to integrate somehow.
All right.
But either of those, yeah, maybe a little more on the love, the romance side.
She's 40, Neil, pretty close for. Am I
yeah,
having this
40.
Wrong? And she's 38, so she's
yeah.
a
Eight.
Couple years away from probably a big.
Well, Julia.
Yeah.
Is it Julia? Julie.
Julia.
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 You're,
thank you.
The good news is that in this lifetime, you're not even really meant to find that really, really special energy
what?
Until the age of 40.
Oh, right.
So everything else has been kind of a karma zone. It would dissolve. Changes and kind of heartbreaks and unresolved endings. Well, that's because your energy was your karmic past lives are very strong, and they had a they had a great intensity to them. So there would be some dramatic episodes that would have happened in your life because of the strength of that energy. But what you acquire and experience in the element of your energy as it approaches 38, 39, 40, it's going to get warmer the closer you get to it, is you're going to find yourself meeting and falling in love with a person who's also been waiting for you. So it would be the kind of thing where you both would say, you know, I've been waiting for you and I've been waiting for you and well, I guess we've been waiting for each other. And then you kind of become matched souls. So
okay.
There's a sort of matched energy. It's almost like when people are just like really in love and you see them walking around and they just seem to be made for each other. There's a common trust. Well, that's what I think is going to happen with you, Julia. But I
feel like I already met that. I'm sorry. I feel like I already met that person. Is that possible? I feel a real strong connection.
Yeah, well, it's possible. You know, I'd have to go into further details. I don't have time to get into the birth date.
Okay.
But if you feel you have met that person, I wouldn't argue with that because we're so very close to the element of your resolution that if it could be at any moment. I'd have to go into more detail. So if that's the case and you feel like you've met the person, this could very well be the person I'm speaking about, which would be a good validation because I've already sensing the person, and if you said they're in your scope now, I'm not getting indication that it's not this person, so that's a good sign. I'm also seeing a lot of flight and travel, so somebody with a pilot's license or somebody who flies planes or does a lot of plane flying, I'm starting to see that as a zone, which, you know, I mean, I wish I'd get into more, and I don't know if that has to do with career, but there is something with a plane flight, plane travel, pilot's license, I'm not sure. Have you done any extensive plane flying in your life?
I have not. My family is in Ohio, and I'm in Texas, so that's the only flying I really do.
That is, but that's, you know.
Yeah, do you fly to see them quite often?
No. I mean, maybe once a year if I'm lucky.
Then I'm not sure yet. I would have to... Then that prompts me to go deeper into what I'm witnessing here and getting a sense of. So I'd have to go deeper into it. I don't have time for that, Julia, but that's where I would go first, because I'm getting an airplane around you, and that could be a future energy. I'm not sure yet. I'd have to probe it a little bit deeper than I have time for.
And Julia, okay. Neil's direct number is 562-596-7818. But, again, it's a preliminary reading.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you both so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome so much. We've got two callers, Neil, in about 8 minutes, so we're going to have to go slightly over. So we have 504 area code, and then someone named Neil, actually.
I'm calling myself.
Right. So if you're listening on the internet, we're going to be going off the air, but the show will continue beyond the 60-minute scheduled time. So we'll keep recording. So hang on, everybody. 504. Hi.
Hi. My name is Debbie, and my birth date is 2/12/1963.
2/12/63, and your location, Debbie?
Louisiana.
All right. And what's your question?
It's funny, he just said something about, like, a relationship about living under the same roof, and that is what is bothering me right now. We have two roofs, and this has been going on, a relationship I have for, like, about 6-7 years, and it was okay for a time, and all of a sudden, it's just really not okay with me. And there's nothing wrong, but all of a sudden, it doesn't work for me.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense. You were with somebody, you don't want them around anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense on that logical level. Does it make sense in terms of what's the depth of your connection with this person? That would be the more pertinent question in terms of seeing it, what kind of sense it's making and why it's coming to an end right now. There seems to be something with a 10 or 11-year period that could apply to the person, or it could apply to something else in your life, but you're 52 years old now, so I'd have to go back to the time when you were about 42. Can you go back there quickly, Debbie, 42 years old, basically about 10 years ago? Anything that come to mind?
I can't remember anything right now. I mean, I can't remember.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. If we have more time, we could get into it. How long have you known this person? Did you mention that?
Well, it's my boyfriend, but I've known him probably maybe about that time or a little after, but we weren't involved until like 7 years, you know, the last 7 years, but
but you met him about 10 years ago or somewhere in the
future. Yeah, I think so. I think I did.
Yeah. Okay, I don't want to force you to answer it my way, but it seems like you're comfortable with assuming that it was around that time. That's what I'm picking up then. So the element of 10, 11 years or so, give or take a little bit of a window there, is where you work with him. Yeah, you know, let me ask you something too, Debbie. What in your whole life did you ever have to deal with anybody's drinking problems, alcohol, drinking?
My family, but not him. He's not that. Oh,
no.
His brother is an alcoholic, and he lives with him. So I just don't like being around the brother anymore.
Oh, well, then that's it. You see, your family, some drinking problems, and then his brother who lives with him. You don't like being around the brother, and there's the alcohol. So I'm seeing that you're a little bit slow to respond to my questions, but you do ultimately connect to where I'm going. So that's encouraging.
I
think that this, to tell you the truth, I'm not out to destroy lives or anything, but I think that this is coming to an end, and that might be healthy if you remove yourself from the energy. I mean, I'd have to go into more of the dynamics
than what I have time
for. You believe that the brother is going to pass?
I never say he's going to pass.
No.
Thought he said that was coming to an end.
No, coming to an end.
Okay.
The relationship.
The
right?
relationship
not
is
anybody
coming to
dying.
An end. No, I'm not.
We don't
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not
we don't
predict the dad on the radio. So, what I mean by end here, Debbie, is that I'm feeling that the relationship should come to an end. That it's time to activate this energy. And that the history you have with this person is now coming to a close, and it's about time for you to activate a change. So that's what I'm picking up on, especially since we make some sound connections to the alcohol situation.
Okay, so that is all we have time for. I think we've got to get to the next caller. But, Debbie, hopefully that provides some insight to you. And you can always join us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can join us on Facebook as well. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And you may reach Neil at 562-596-7818. And so our last caller, Neil, is his name.
Yes.
Is this right? Neil?
Yes.
Hi. I'm sorry?
Hello. My name is Neil, as you've seen. And I've been listening to conversation for like your conversations for quite a while now, and I've been very interested in what you guys have been talking about, like karma and stuff like that.
Oh, thank you. Well, good to know that people are listening.
go
ahead.
I've been wondering if, like, if you're in your past life, if you were Adolf Hitler, how much bad karma would you have in current life?
Is that your question?
Well.
Do you have a personal question? I was going to get your birthday, Neil.
I was born on 1991, March 2nd.
3/2/91?
Yep.
It's funny because I was reading something. There was something someone posted about Adolf Hitler, and they were talking about, in this article, how we misunderstand karma. Oh, he dropped.
He fell?
Uh-huh.
Well, his question regarding Adolf Hitler.
Well, can I finish my statement about the article that I had read? And it talked about Adolf Hitler and how, this person's interpretation that wrote the article was that, if Adolf Hitler comes back, he can either choose, one lifetime that's horrible and he's a prisoner, or thousands of lifetimes where he has a comfortable lifestyle, which I thought was interesting interpretation considering, we don't really have a choice, I think, when we come back.
I mean,
what our circumstances
Karma's got a strange face. It's two-faced. The conditions of our karma from a past life will predetermine, will set our stage for the life that we're getting into. And then we have the energy of having reduced that karma according to the degree of the severity of the karma and how we can self-actualize ourselves from that point, or even how we can self-actualize ourselves during the process of dealing with karma, because we can still do that. So self-actualizing oneself, it can be measurable. However, It may not apply itself to any great degree of success until the karma is reduced entirely. So sometimes people reduce their karma entirely and then they start to actualize themselves after the fact. Other people will start to actualize themselves and do good things while they're doing their karma. And they may not make any changes, but it's like the person who's always having bad luck. Nothing's going right for them, and yet they're willing to take the shirt off their back and give it to you. They're always there to help. They don't complain, but their life is just miserable. You could tell they're very unhappy. Well, that's reducing karma and actualizing oneself while the karma is still activating, as opposed to someone who's got a miserable life and they go, you know what, I'm too depressed to help anybody. That's where it can get a little bit worse. So the element of Hitler's karma,
with the impact that he had on the planet and the lives that he affected and the destruction that he created would amount to a severe amount of
crime. Right. You know, Hitler wouldn't, as this article said, wouldn't get to choose, you know, a thousand lifetimes where he lived in comfort and just return to the planet. He would probably have many, many, many lifetimes.
Well,
think about all the people that were killed.
Well, you know, when people have multiple life sentences or extended years in jail, when they die, they come back to face the remaining years. So they come back on a level of extreme hardship. So you don't necessarily escape your karma just because you died. You actually breathe your life into the new essence. And that essence may be the continuation of karma. So I would assume, to answer Neil's question, that an individual like Adolf Hitler would be under the severe, rigid rules of what I would deem as harsh karma in coming back to continuously reduce it. Or he's in the astral realm doing the same.
Right. And what I'm suggesting is that article that stated that, you know, he could choose one lifetime to resolve his karma, a harsh life, you know, one lifetime of harsh circumstances to resolve all the karma of the millions of lives he took. It's just unrealistic. It was kind of a stupid article. But anyway, we're out of time, Neil, and we're out of callers. So we will see everybody on Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.